Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And next Monday is Memorial Day, of course, and we've been ending the show during this three-day drive with respect for our veterans and our war dead, and a nod to the big anniversary we're in this month, the end of World War II in Europe, VE Day as it's known, our victory over the Nazis, which was officially May 8th, 1945. So it's one more time around the block now with historian Kenneth C. Davis, author of the book, author of the Don't Know Much About series of history books, both for grown-ups and for kids. He even published a book in 2018 called More Deadly Than War, The Hidden History of the Spanish Flu and World War I. So we'll start there today, actually. And hi, Ken. Thanks for coming back on WNYC one more time.
Good morning, Brian. Always a pleasure to be with you. And before we begin, I want to... You've been saying thank you to listeners. I want, from the listeners' point of view, to thank you and WNYC for what you've been doing as a grateful listener. So thank you very much.
Thank you for that. In your book about the Spanish flu, you write about how the combination of the pandemic and the German and Italian defeat in World War I helped set the stage for Hitler and Mussolini. Why do you include the pandemic in that?
Because that was part of the tremendous calamity that had struck the world. In many ways, to many people, it was the more immediate effect. In Italy, for instance, more than 400,000 had died. In Germany, more than 400,000 had died from the flu. And so this contributed to the sense that everything had gone wrong. And in Germany, of course, it was worsened because they had been defeated, and the animosity that grew out of that certainly helped lead to the rise of Hitler. In Italy, which was one of the victorious allies in World War I, they felt they had been cheated out of any of the spoils of war. So in addition to the enormous losses in the war, in fighting, about 600,000 Italian soldiers had died in the war. They had another 400,000 or so losses to the flu. So there was a tremendous sense of everything going wrong. And this provides an opening for a strong man like a Mussolini and then later on a Hitler.
So without the pandemic intersecting with World War I, we would have been less likely to have World War II, something we wouldn't have thought about at all were it not for what's happening with COVID-19. Did the pandemic have political effects here between the wars that affected our relationship with the outside world?
Absolutely. We went into, and you can't separate, this is one of the important parts, I think, of understanding the pandemic, which gets left out of most history books when we talk about World War I. You can't separate out the loss in World War I from the losses in the pandemic in the United States. 675,000 people, many more people, of course, dying from the flu than from the war. And there was this sense that we want to forget about this. We want to go back to normal. Warren G. Harding runs for president. In fact, it was in May of 1920 that he makes the speech, A Return to Normalcy. And he wins in a landslide. America wanted to go back to normal. Normal meant, in part, closing off that world that had been so dangerous. We then enacted some of the most harsh anti-immigration laws of the 20th century, specifically aimed at Eastern European. There was a great fear of Bolshevism, the rise of the Russian Revolution, and the spread of socialism and communism in Europe was feared here. So we had the first Red Scare in the 1919s and 20s, and the rise of the Ku Klux Klan. Again, we think of it as a racial thing, but it was also aimed at foreigners, Jews, Catholics. This was the moment at which normalcy meant keep out those things we don't like and don't understand and don't want here because they've caused all the trouble.
And your book includes a narrative about the impact of propaganda on the spread of the Spanish flu, or of the Spanish flu on the spread of propaganda, or was it both?
It was absolutely combined, and that's why I say one of the chief lessons from the Spanish flu pandemic that I talk about in More Deadly Than War is the idea that lies propaganda and censorship helped spread the virus, helped spread the pandemic in 1918. People were denied good information because of lies and propaganda. The idea that this was something the Germans had done, that Bayer had somehow tainted its aspirin. I believe we spoke about that. So these were ideas that were in the air in 1918 that contributed to the sense of fear and ignorance of what to do. The fact that we were fighting a war also meant that the propaganda aimed at Germans influenced that. The propaganda to sell the war bonds led to these big parades and marches that helped spread the virus, especially in a place like Philadelphia or Boston, two of the hardest hit cities. So the propaganda related to the war spread the virus. There's no question about that. And we've seen lies and propaganda and censorship affecting this virus and coronavirus crisis that we're confronting right now.
And so in our last minute, how would you compare the propaganda aspect during that pandemic to anything today?
Well, I think it's a couple of very direct ideas that we can look at. First of all, we're clear now that the Chinese were not forthcoming early on in this crisis. We know in 1918, government officials, not only in the United States, but other governments, were also keeping the lid on the news about an epidemic. They didn't want people to panic, especially in the midst of a wartime effort. If people panicked, they wouldn't go to work. The soldiers wouldn't report for duty. People wouldn't go to camps or enlist. So those kind of things fed into the suppression of information. So I think that one thing we've learned clearly from this current crisis is that people really should have good information based on science, and we've gotten far too little of that from the highest sources in this country.
Well, there's a lot to memorialize on Memorial Day always, but certainly this year. Ken Davis's book from 2018 is called More Deadly Than War, The Hidden History of the Spanish Flu and World War I, and he's author of the whole Don't Know Much About History series. Ken, thanks so much for the history lessons these last 3 days. I know I've learned a lot, so I'm sure a lot of the listeners have.
Well, it is our most solemn day on the American calendar. A lot of it comes out of World War I. The Tomb of the Unknown, for instance, in Arlington was a creation after World War I. The poppy as a symbol of Memorial Day comes out of the most famous poem of World War I. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses row by row. So a lot of history of World War I wrapped up in Memorial Day, born out of the Civil War.
Kenneth C. Davis, thanks a lot.